states, it is the quality of being devoted or committed to someone or something. Being devoted. Man, when the divorce rate is at 51% and, you know, people have their reasons and, you know, families are falling apart. People are not dedicated to their families anymore. There are so many things transpiring in our society today that even when you look at the government, you wonder whether they are dedicated to the people or for their own pocketbooks. I think sometimes compromise and not dedication is the slogan of our day. The biblical definition of dedication, in general terms, is used to describe an act of setting apart. A consecrated person to God. Consecrated to God. You know, God always wanted his people to be a different kind of people from the world that was surrounded around them. From the very beginning, as he led them out of Egypt, God wanted Israel to be his special people, devoted to him and to him alone. If you look at Exodus chapter 19, around verse number 5, the Bible teaches us this. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Now, I want you to focus on a peculiar treasure, something that is different from everything else. And when I began to think about this, I thought about the Hope Diamond that sits in the Smithsonian. 52 carats. 52 carats in one diamond. That's special. If the diamond is worth $350 million all by itself, that's special. That is a peculiar kind of stone. It's deep dark blue. They say DC blue. It's enlightening to the eye when you look at that Hope Diamond. Well, what God is asking his people is to be special in comparison to this diamond, special among all other people in this world. But you know, we cannot be special without God's help. We cannot be special. And God offers us all the help that we need in order to be a special treasure unto him. But because of the lack of dedication, many of us fall short. Peter says this concerning the Christian dispensation. He says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9 and 10, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, look back. He says you are a special people, chosen from all the people that exist in the world. God has chosen you to be his Hope Diamond. Do you not know that we are the people that need to be carrying hope into this dark world that we're in? Hey, where would the world be if it were not for people who had hope? Had hope after this life. Listen to what Peter says. A holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Whoa. That's you, church. That's you who are dedicated, who are loyal to doing God's will. See,
it is a stone that has been put under trouble. tremendous pressure. I mean tremendous pressure to become a diamond. We are in this world, and can we not say we are under pressure trying to live for the Lord like God wants us to live? Are we not under the pressure and scrutiny of this old world we live in? My brothers and sisters, we must understand it is the pressure that is going to make us precious. Y'all get that? It is the pressure that will make us into this special treasure God wants. I'm telling you, sometimes it's unbearable, but yet I'm going to stick with God. For I know he's molding me and making me after his will. Peter goes on to say, which in time past were not a people, no value, without God, as the Ephesian writer writes, a people with no hope. It wasn't even a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Here, I'm assuring you, when we make a mistake, God's mercy is that far. It's greater than that far. He wants to continue to work on us to make us this peculiar and special people. Look what Titus says in Titus chapter 2, starting at verse number 14. Who gave himself for us. Now that which was precious. Y'all get me? That which was more valuable than anything else in our society, in our world, gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. Oh, God did this that I may become that precious stone in his church. He's here to purify us, to cleanse us, to make us a special people. When we talk about the word zealous, of good work. To be zealous is to be passionate about what you are doing and how you are living. Hey, y'all get that? Hey, I need to be passionate about how I live and conduct my life. You know, I'm thankful here today because we have a young man here. Well, he ain't no young man. His name is Tim. If you hadn't met him, he'd change to me. You will not find a humble man. I love it. Tim worked for me for about 10, 12, 13 years. Headline strong prison. Now, what I'm trying to give you, Tim, you need to ask some of the Northwest folks who I am, and they need to ask you how I am out at that prison. Hey, who I am in church might not be the way I am out there in prayer. If y'all see what I'm saying? If I'm going to be precious and passionate about the way I live, I need to be consistent in the way I live. You know, I can't be one thing here and another thing out there. I want us to be precious to God. A zealous people that are passionate about living a life of Christianity. The act of dedication is usually accompanied by an announcement of what is being done or intended by prayer, asking God for divine guidance and approval and blessings. You know, unto who? In order for God to approve you, then you must be studying God's word. In order for God to approve you, you must be living the way God wants you to live. These double-tongued Christians are not going to be in God's presence when God returns again. But they say one thing and they're doing something else. What I'm trying to do today is to say, brothers and sisters, let us get devoted to God's word, that we won't be like that wave that goes in and out. But we will be people that are consistent in the house as well in the prison or in the grocery store. Wherever you go, people know who you are because of the way you conduct. You don't change. You know it's making a difference in who you are and what you are all about. Listen. Your confession of Jesus Christ as the Son of God is your acknowledgement of Jesus. You have stated that he is your Lord and he's your Savior. He is the only begotten Son of the Father and the only one that can save us from this world in which we live. See, I understand that I've fallen short. You understand that we have all come up short. But it's through Jesus Christ in our effort to stay loyal and dedicated to him that makes the difference in all our lives. See, I opened this thing up with saying, I don't know who I would be if it wasn't for Jesus. I could see myself as doing something contrary, totally against the will of God. But now to say I'm trying to make a difference in my life as well in the lives of others. I want people to see who I am because it is not me who lives, but Christ who's living within me. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, there's a lot of pressure in that. To be a good example, there's a lot of pressure not to give in to the things of this world. There's a lot of pressure to stay faithful. With the pressure. If you don't feel the pressure, then you need to question who you are and what you are all about. I'm not trying to bring shame. I'm just trying to tell the truth. That's all I want to do. You confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, then do what Christ has told you to do. The Roman writer writes in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, concerning confession. Watch what he says. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, y'all stay with me. Confession expresses an open allegiance to the Lord God, but contained within your confession is a submission to the will of God. It's an acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord, not only in the church building, but your life every day. We put on our Christ when we come to church, and we do something else outside of church. I'm trying to get you to see you can't be inconsistent. You need to be consistent on how you conduct yourself in the eyes of God, because God is the one that's watching and looking down upon you each and every day of your life. Remember that church, those who have God has two books. And in one book, he's recording everything that you do. So I ain't no getting that left in where God I lie. No. You want the other book on. The one that contains life for you. But you cannot have life if you are not willing to endure this life. You're not willing to endure, then, hey, forget it. The verse 10 says, in the text, he says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now, what you believe changes to what God wants you to believe. You see, y'all get my point?
See, a lot of people want to believe whatever they want to believe about God. But I'm saying, when we start wanting to devote ourselves to God, we have to believe what God tells us to believe. You can't believe different from me. The God's plan of salvation has always been consistent and right. A man cannot be saved unless he God's plan of salvation.
You know, people want to take shortcuts today.
Just repent and you'll be all right. Or just confess, you'll be all right. No, God wants you to believe unto righteousness.
Now watch the example I'm going to give you. Watch the example. The two words, unto righteousness, says to me, you are not declared dedicated yet. y'all watch that. You are not declared dedicated yet to righteousness. You have come unto, or came unto righteousness, but you are not into righteousness.
Yeah, y'all hear the difference? Coming close is not good enough. See, it's like this. You can bring your car to the building and get out and touch the front door, but you only came onto the building. It takes a little bit more effort to get into the building. It literally means that you got to park your car, turn the engine off, walk up to the building, open the door, and walk in. See, if you are not into righteousness, then I can say you only came unto it. And you know, when you only come unto it, you know what that means? You can turn around and walk away from it. See, I'm talking about staying in righteousness. See, we must believe and come unto God. And you can only do that through the gospel. The only way to accomplish it is by being obedient to the words of faith. Romans 10:17 expresses it this way. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, the word of God
is our roadmap into righteousness. It's about what you practice on a daily basis. You know, if we were to show up at the store here, I wonder how many of these their bodies on a daily basis. How many of you can think about God on a daily basis? You know, my whole life is evolved around trying to do God's will. And I often sit in restaurants and I see people eating, but I wonder how many pray. How many are truly thankful for the food that God has put for me. I'm often thinking that because, you know, we instinctively are like animals. You know, we just want to eat, get it over with. Not saying that you are a Christian, but how really thankful are you? How loyal, how dedicated are you to your Lord? By sitting down and saying a simple few words of prayer, show your Lord you love. I'm talking about being an example for you. I'm talking about being a dedicated Christian, one that lives your life.
That's what I'm talking about. Y'all bear with me. Got a little bit more to go. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter chapter 23 and verse number 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, being born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Peter is talking about us being renewed in Christ Jesus. And you got to get into Christ in order to be renewed. He says in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 2 and 3, he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. It is a principle that we all need to apply to our lives, that we are babes. And even though I've been in this fight for many years now, yet I still am in the growing process. I still need the milk of God's word to help mature me, that I can be stronger in Christ Jesus and not going around here on my own will, living for my own desire, doing what I want to do, but only doing that which pleases God. And let me tell you, that's the pressure, folks. That's the pressure. That means some molding and making, and it does not come easy. But yet we must desire it because it changes us into who God wants us to be. He said that we may grow thereby. Verse 3 says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted it? Do you know that God is good and gracious? Don't you know that the only reason why you're here, as Brother Fred said in his prayer, is that because God wanted you to be here? Because a lot of folks didn't get up this morning that went to bed last night. And I'm telling you, we are living on a thin line. We are one day closer to our faith finishing here on this side of life than we were yesterday. And I heard one man say, I'm one day closer than I've ever been before. And that's for all of us. Young and old, we are one day closer. So we need to
that's going to make a difference. And if you don't want to be different, that's your ball. You play with it. I'm here to tell you, you made a confession. If you've been baptized into Jesus, you need to live like you are in Jesus Christ. Dedicated people submit themselves to the will of God and His Word. Your dedication confirms by your baptism into Christ's body that you are going to be loyal to Him and to Him only. You will not allow the deceitful work of sin. And let me say this. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not a perfect human being in here. It's not. But yet, we fight against it. We try not to give in to it. As the Roman writer wrote in Romans chapter 6, verses 1, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Trying to get that behind me. So, I want to be a new creature in Christ. I want these old things to change, and I just want to become new. But I realize that it's going to take some dedication, some hard time. Let's go to Luke chapter 14, and let's begin to look there. Jesus has just left a feast at the Pharisees' house. Man, they all upset because he healed somebody on the Sabbath, and you know. But a great multitude of people are following him. In verse number 25, "And there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father, and mother, and his wife, and children, and brothers, and sisters, yet even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Let me go and step down here now and share some thoughts with you here concerning this. Because it appears that Jesus said, "Hate your mother, your father, your brothers, and sisters." He paints this picture for ones that hold most people back for dedicating themselves to the Lord. Y'all, why you going over them for? You know, isn't this good enough? You know, why you leaving our tradition? We always been this all of our lives. And now here you want to go off with them Church of Christ folks. Have you not heard? Have you not witnessed it with your own eyes? But if you are not willing to break free from that family, then you can't be a part of the family of Christ. You can't be a part. You must be willing to leave all that stuff in your past and press forward the mark of a greater future. Remember, folks, we are under this pressure in order to make us this special people that God wants. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Thank you.
What?